And then he warns them not to run away with it, not to get caught, and also not to die. Good advice all around.
Try not to. I live my life by that motto.
To try not to die.
Yep.
I always think everything is a trap. That's why I'm still alive. Which is why I'm still alive.
We did it.
I feel like we haven't had one in a while, so that's no. good. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood girls.
Bollywood girls who just need to steal some gold to save their friends and coworkers. And their boyfriends are just fine with it.
Yeah, which I appreciate that support.
Yeah. When your partner commits crimes that are directly related to the job you do and you're just cool with it. That's big as a partner.
Well, it helps when they're super hot, you know?
Yeah, it does really help. Absolutely. Welcome to crew, folks.
We're in it.
That's our, like 4-sentence plot recap. Yeah. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it a
lot. Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, very low stakes as far as a movie goes. High stakes in the film. Yeah. But even then, maybe not that high stakes. It didn't really seem like it was that big of a deal. I don't know.
No, yeah, nobody's lives were in danger, just people's livelihoods were impacted, which is not great, but it's also not the biggest deal we've seen.
Yeah, and I mean, there was, one death, but it was funny, so it was fine.
Funny, yeah. He was old,
it was his time, whatever.
Look at us playing God.
Uh-huh. No, I thought it was very fun, I thought it was entertaining, I think those three women really played off of each other very well.
They did, yeah. Like, I know I made some kind of snarky remark at the end of last week about it, not being the pinnacle of feminism, which it wasn't. That wasn't the point of this movie.
No, that's not what it was about.
And really, the part of it that feels empowering is the fact that this was a movie starring three women, all of whom are over 30, mm-hmm. And it was a successful movie, and that's what's empowering about it. Like, that shouldn't be remarkable, but it is, and it's exciting. Like, even by Hollywood standards, that's really impressive. These women deserve the excitement that people gave them about going and seeing a movie with them together.
Agreed. It's kind of like, too, when we were watching Catal, and we were like, whoa, two women lawyers.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that in itself is not remarkable. Like, it's not remarkable that there are three talented actors who are in their or above 30, you know, and happen to be women who are able to create a successful movie.
Right.
But it is remarkable that that was made and that choice was made by a studio.
Yes.
So,
and that's what's great. Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of those three women, we've got Tabu playing Geeta, Kareena Kapoor Khan playing Jasmine, Kriti Sanon playing Divya, and I think we should also mention Diljit Dosanjh playing Javier.
Yeah.
Good, solid leading cast here.
Yeah. And, I think it was, the right amount of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. That was a big part of the thing too, is that this is a comedy starring three women.
Yes.
And there's that feeling of women can't be funny, and it's like, no, they actually can. Surprise.
And they all had a different sense of humor, but all in ways that really jived with each other. Yeah, it was good.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that. I felt I really particularly enjoyed Kareena Kapoor's character.
Yeah.
Kareena Kapoor just always has, there's, a slightly manic energy that I feel like her characters always have. Like, she doesn't, in my experience, I've never seen her play, a super chill, laid-back role. Mm-hmm. There's always just this, and I really like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked it. I liked her portrayal of Jasmine kind of having that edge.
Right. And her facial expressions are so good. And
they
are so
good.
Kriti's. And I like that Geeta was kind of more of, the straight woman of the group.
Yeah.
But even then, she'd get saucy sometimes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I am excited to dive into our recap.
Me too. Let's go.
Woot.
Woot, woot. Let's take off.
Let's do it. And let's hope we have a smoother landing than... Anyway, getting ahead of myself.
Spoilers.
So, Crew opens with a montage that gave me a good deal of secondhand anxiety as we see a bunch of people checking in at the Mumbai airport. Which, I hate airports. I don't mind flying. I hate being in airports. So stressful. Uh-huh. After this montage, we see some customs officers calling back a flight just as it is cleared for takeoff. The plane returns to the gate, and the customs officers board and collect three flight attendants.
Mm-hmm.
One of these flight attendants is Divya, a self-described high achiever who always dreamed of becoming a pilot. And we see her as a child sitting beside the seldom-used dirt runway in her hometown. Divya, as an adult, does successfully earn her pilot's license, but then the economy crashes, and she is unable to get a job as a pilot. And so she becomes a flight attendant instead.
Mm-hmm.
Every day she leaves for work dressed in a rented pilot's uniform so that her family thinks that she is going to work to be a pilot, but then she changes into her flight attendant's uniform at the airport.
That's rough.
It is rough, yeah.
And, like, also to be so close to your dream.
Yeah, and something so completely out of your control be the reason you can't have it.
Yeah.
It's very sad. The second flight attendant we meet is Geeta, a former pageant girl. Almost like she's a contestant on The Bachelor, former pageant girl. And she's from a well-to-do family, but she had to start working as a flight attendant when her husband, who was also from a well-to-do family, had a falling out with his family.
Mm-hmm.
Geeta and her husband have a really sweet relationship.
I love their relationship.
They're, like, just super supportive of each other.
Yeah, they are truly a team.
Yeah, and I really assumed from the way they introduce her character and say that, like, you know, she had to go to work to support, like, her husband. I thought that it was going to be, like, a burden on her. But no, they, like, really love each other.
Right, because, like, he's continuing to, like, cook and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're adorable.
They are.
I'm a big fan.
I couldn't agree more. And speaking of that cooking, Geeta and her husband dream of one day opening a restaurant in Goa. As we're getting this kind of introduction to Geeta's character, we also see her freeloading brother and his poor put-upon wife move in with them because he has once more lost a job or never had a job. I don't know. He's not great.
Yeah.
And then lastly, we meet Jasmine, who grew up with her beloved grandfather. And Jasmine is someone who always loves having a plan B. And she's not above scamming or stealing to earn a buck. And she's trying to do this to fund a cosmetics business. She's always trying to kind of sell this lotion that she's, I guess she's not making it. She's just trying to sell it. But
yeah, but it does seem like it's her company.
It does. So, yeah, like she's really trying to like get it off the ground, so to speak. But it's not going well. So that's why she's become. I've got to get all the plane jokes in that we can. But so that's why she has become a flight attendant.
Mm-hmm.
So these are our three leading ladies, and Divya, Geeta, and Jasmine are brought in together for questioning by the customs officer, Mala. And we flash to 6 months earlier. So there's already a lot of flashbacks happening in this movie.
Yeah.
The three women work for Koh-i-Noor, which is a struggling airline that has aging management that still weighs its flight attendants to determine whether or not they are quote-unquote suitable for flying.
Yeah, that was gross.
It was gross.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, this guy, I wrote his name down somewhere, but I don't see it in my notes yet, but he's gross.
Yeah, no, not a huge fan.
He dies, so it's fine. We get a montage wherein Geeta has to abide the flirtations of a pilot who has a crush on her, which is upsetting to see a woman have to do that at her workplace when she's very happily married and not at all interested in this man. And we also see in this montage plenty of examples of the general awfulness of being in any sort of service role, particularly in flight. People are gross and... taking care of them is a thankless job.
Yeah. But I also appreciate that you see some sweet moments, too.
This is true. They don't necessarily dislike their jobs. There's good and there's bad.
Yes.
During a layover, the Kohinoor flight attendants discuss how they haven't been paid a salary in 6 months because the company is really struggling.
That's a long time to be working without pay.
Yeah, and the only thing that they're, like, surviving on is the, like, couple of $20 bills that they get for doing these international flights that they're doing.
Yeah.
Jasmine actually declares in this conversation that she is interviewing for a position with a different airline, but Geeta bids her not to cause others to panic, and she passes along what they've been hearing from management, these reassurances that their salaries are coming. Mm. Divya, meanwhile, receives a notification that the payment on her loan is due in 2 days.
That's so soon.
It's so soon. She has very little time to figure things out.
Haven't been paid in 6 months. It's not going to happen in the next 2 days.
Definitely not, no. And so they're on a flight to Alberge when their manager, Mr. Raj Banshee, just dies. They just look over and he's dead in his chair.
I love their reaction to, like, just having this dead body suddenly there with them. Like,
It's rough. None of them is entirely sure what the procedure should be.
God, do you give CPR to someone who's clearly dead?
Well, Geeta considers it. And she opens up this man's shirt. But when they open his shirt, they see that he has, like, several gold bars strapped to his torso. Mm-hmm. They get on with the pilot. The pilot, you know, returns the flight to India, saying that there's some kind of medical catastrophe happening. And poor Geeta, Jasmine, and Divya have to sit in their little, like, attendance area with the dead body just strapped in with them.
I like that Divya is just, like, staring into his open dead eyes.
She, like, reaches over and shuts them at one point because she's so grossed out. But Jasmine, she's a little less grossed out, and she's actually considering stealing some of the gold, and she tries to convince the others to jump on board with this scheme, but they don't. They hold firm. They're like, let's just let the authorities deal with this and not get involved. Because it's obviously fishy. Like, no one just casually straps gold bars to their body.
Yeah. What a terrible time for him to die.
It really... it's not ideal for anybody in this situation. No. So they're met back at the airport by a handsome customs official, Javier, who approaches Divya very familiarly, and we see a flashback to them in their school days hooking up in a locker room at a basketball game.
Good for them.
Good for them. They have some beer, they get to it, looks like a great time.
Yeah.
Javier ends this present-day interaction by asking Divya for her number. I wasn't sure at first what the vibe was going to be with Javier.
Yeah, if she was going to be into him, too, or if it was just going to be a one-sided thing.
Right, yeah, because you get the sense when they introduce the thing with Geeta and the pilot that, like, this is something that they're maybe going to, like, manipulate or take advantage of in the future. So I was like, okay, they're going to do that with this customs guy, too. But I was glad that wasn't the case, because he, you know, he seems like a nice guy.
He does, he's fun,
Yeah. Back at their respective homes, we learn that Divya's parents have actually paid off her loan for her by selling their car. Mm-hmm. We also see that Jasmine pays her and her grandfather's rent using a watch that she stole from one of the passengers.
Love it. I mean, that's very unethical.
But gotta do what you gotta do in these streets.
Yeah.
And her grandfather gives Jasmine his ring and tells her to pawn it for more money so that they, you know, can continue to be secure and she doesn't have to keep stealing things for that to happen. Yeah. And this is hard for Jasmine because we later learn that this is, like, her one and only family heirloom she has to pawn. Mm-hmm. These financial woes are closely followed by an announcement that Kohinoor Airlines might be going bankrupt. It's unclear whether this is just a rumor or whether it's actually going to happen. And after a few desperate attempts to contact the company's HR rep, Mr. Mittal, Geeta finally gets his attention by lightly throwing herself in front of his car.
Yeah. Again, you do what you gotta do.
You do. This is highly effective.
Take notes.
Yeah. We don't condone thievery or throwing yourself in front of someone's car.
Unless you really have to.
to find out if your company is going bankrupt.
Yes. Very specific situation.
Yes. And it turns out that, yes, they are going bankrupt. And Mr. Mittal asks that Geeta not tell anybody. But Geeta's panicking because she's seeing all of her dreams fly out the window. Geeta, Divya, and Jasmine get together and commiserate about the company going bankrupt and their financial struggles. And mm-hmm. Jasmine suggests that they get themselves into this gold smuggling deal that Raj Banshee was clearly a part of. Uh-huh. And the other women are wondering how they would even figure out how to go about this. Well, Jasmine has, she stole his phone off of his dead corpse. Yep.
She's, like, really good at that.
She is. She's an excellent pickpocket.
Yeah. This is the scene where Geeta is, like, pocketing, like, the little packets of peanuts and headphones and things, right? Yeah, for, like, I assume reselling,
yeah,
I guess.
She goes into a complete spiral and is, like, stealing all the toilet paper and the shampoo bottles and the alcohol and,
good for her.
Yeah. Again, you do what you gotta do to survive. Yeah, so they get into Raj Banshee's phone, and they see that every time they would land in Al Burj, he would call a number. And so they call that number, and it turns out to be Mittal's number. So this is a company insider situation that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they go and talk to Mittal, and they tell him that they can do for him what Raj Banshee was doing, but they can do it three times over, because there's three of them, and that's how that works.
Yep.
And Mittal agrees, and thus the crew is born. Mittal gives them their first batch of gold, and he gives them directions for what to do with it when they land in Al Burj. The crew wonders how they can conceal the gold from the customs officers, and they end up with this plan to have a jeweler melt down the gold bars, shape them into gold balls that they then hide in chocolate wrappers and make look like just a case of chocolate truffles.
Not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea. Highly elaborate and bringing outsiders in on the plan, but still, it works.
I do feel like it'd be kind of heavy.
Probably. Yeah, you could probably tell the difference between the gold ones and the chocolate ones.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever.
Listen, this movie's not perfect in its details, but it's fun, and that's okay.
Are you telling me I have to suspend my disbelief while watching this Bollywood film?
Maybe once or twice.
Okay.
So they pack the containers with the gold in their suitcases, along with real chocolate truffles, which Geeta says is for safety. Their first drop is successful, and when they return to India, Mittal pays them each with a big ol' stack of $100 bills. Big ol' stacks of Benjamins. And we get then a montage of the crew each spending their cash. Jasmine buys her grandfather's ring back and also generally tips a custodian friend who works with them at the airport. She becomes important again later.
Yes.
Divya pays back her parents for the loan. And Geeta bribes a restaurant into hiring her brother so she could get him and his wife out of the house.
Ugh, yeah.
Which I'm sure is a great relief. So life is looking bright for our crew, but sadly, not for any of the other flight attendants who work for Kohinoor. They still haven't been paid now in almost a year.
That is, I mean,
that's really bad.
Yeah, especially when one of the flight attendants is a single mother. Like, yep. Ugh.
Yeah, like, how else is she supposed to feed her family?
Yeah.
On one of their smuggling trips, Officer Mala, the customs officer, pulls the crew aside to search their bags. She notes the oddly high number of chocolate truffles that they are traveling with, but before she can investigate further, Javier arrives and instructs her to let the crew go, because he wants to have another opportunity to flirt with Divya.
Of course he does. Who could blame him?
I certainly can't. And so he does flirt with Divya, standing very close to her as he insists that she immediately follow him back on Instagram. Again, I wasn't yet sure what to think of this Javier guy. Yeah.
Nope. Because I think because also Divya wasn't sure at this point either.
Yes, yeah. Because she's also, like, both of the times she's interacted with him since that time they had sex as, like, high school students.
Yeah.
You know, there's been some confusion and crime happening, so it's a little hard to vibe someone out in those circumstances.
Sure.
this whole interaction briefly shakes Geeta's confidence, but one word from Jasmine and she is back in. Jasmine and Geeta then convince Divya to agree to go on a date with Javier.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do go out, and it goes quite well. They're cute and flirty, and Javier confesses that their locker room hookup was his first time. But he assures Divya that he has upped his game since then and asks her to a rematch.
That's great.
Yeah, great way to proposition somebody.
Love it.
And she asks for a rain check, but now, yes, she does actually seem into him.
Mm-hmm.
The other Koh Noor flight attendants have noticed that the crew is suddenly doing rather well for themselves, and they're starting to get suspicious, and they make a point to discuss with them how their lack of salaries is impacting them and their families.
Mm-hmm. This is, like, the one thing. It's like that whole people who get away with murder end up bragging about it because they can't believe they got away with murder. Like, it's just part of the success of smuggling is that you really shouldn't let on that you have money.
Right, yeah. You gotta, like, save it up until you have enough to just make a completely different life for yourself somewhere else where no one can know that you came from nothing.
Yeah, because it's super suspicious that suddenly you're buying BMWs.
Yeah. Like,
what are you doing?
Not very subtle. For all of you aspiring smugglers out there, take notes.
Yeah.
We're really encouraging all kinds of crime here tonight.
We are. You know, live life on the edge, but try not to die.
Yep. Again, excellent advice in just about every situation. So we cut back to the present day and the interrogation that the customs officer is doing of the crew after they were pulled from the plane. We see Javier is watching the interrogation on camera and is zooming sadly in on Divya's face.
Mm-hmm.
Officer Mala then pulls up a picture of Geeta holding an enormous champagne bottle and asks, like you were saying, where the money came from to fund this gigantic bottle of champagne, among other things.
Uh-huh.
And so we go back in time again, now just 2 days previously. The crew are out to dinner to celebrate Jasmine's birthday, and Geeta and Divya gift her a pendant with the letter J on it, which Jasmine is very touched by. She's never really had friends before, and it's very sweet.
Yeah.
We then get a dance number, the name of which I did not write down, but we do dance. And I'll bring this up a couple other times, but there are several of Divya's costumes that are just offensively early 2000s for me. And, like, this one and this dance number, she was wearing, like, a micro sweater with nothing under it, and then low-rise cargo pants.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
But she does wear a lot of, like, kind of weird short tie sweaters with, like, the gap between the breasts open.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And this was one of them, yes.
Yes, okay. Not that they're weird. Weird was not the word for me to use.
But they are very early aughts, which is
correct.
At times a little bit challenging for us who lived through that already to experience.
Yes.
As they leave the bar, one of their fellow flight attendants, Kamal, sees them just being not shy at all about their extravagance.
Mm-hmm.
And then this brings us back to the present, and the way that these moments are cut together lead us to believe that it was Kamal who tipped off the customs officer that something fishy was going on and caused them to pull back the plane to interrogate the crew.
Yep.
This is then intermission, and we open Act 2 with officers reporting that they searched the plane, but they did not find any gold.
Huzzah.
Huzzah. Mala asks if they searched the trash, and when they dump it out, she sees that there are chocolate truffles, and she remembers the truffle incident from previously.
Mm-hmm. But why were there just full truffles in the trash?
It's a good question. I don't
know. Right? Who would do that? A monster.
Someone who doesn't like chocolate and doesn't want anyone else to have it either. That's a crime we don't condone for sure.
No.
She goes to the crew, Mala, the officer, goes to the crew and starts eating through all of these chocolate truffles before she realizes that none of them have gold inside them. So her hunch, she thinks in this moment, is incorrect.
She also definitely could have just gotten, like, a knife or something.
Yeah, she really wanted there to be dramatic effect. And then she, like, calls one of the other officers in to start eating them with her. We then cut to 6 hours earlier, where the captain who had a crush on Geeta, he is the one who, like, told them, oh, yeah, they're turning us around because I guess they, like, are gonna arrest people. Mm-hmm. And so the crew were warned in advance that this was happening, and so they were able to hide the chocolates that had the gold in it and swap them out for the chocolates that were just chocolate.
Yes.
So Officer Mala then accidentally lets slip that her informant was a flight attendant, and she is forced by her superior to let the crew go, but the plane has already taken off without them with the gold on board, so goodbye gold, that is out of their hands.
Yep.
So they're not in a good place, and the three of them argue with each other as they're on their way home. Ultimately, Jasmine drops a truth bomb on Divya that she's been lying to her family for way longer than any of this smuggling has been going on, which is true, because again, Divya's mm-hmm. family has no idea what she's doing for a career right now.
Right.
This leads to a mild slap fight between Divya and Jasmine, which Geeta is quite literally stuck in between.
Also, don't fight with Divya, because she knows, like,
she's some sort
of martial art. Yeah,
she's real good at pulling people's arms back behind their backs.
Uh-huh.
Geeta puts a stop to the slap fight by having the car stop and then kicking them both out and making them both walk home.
Mm-hmm.
Some time passes. We see that there's tension between the crew at work. We see a sweet moment where Grandpa tells Jasmine that she needs to start letting others in, but Jasmine says that she'd rather stay closed off to others so that she doesn't have her heart broken.
Yeah.
Geeta's brother also returns to her and her husband's home. He shows up, like, covered in blood, he's been beaten up, he's been fired from his job, and his wife has left him because she has gotten a job in Alberge. Good for her.
Yeah, seriously.
Get out of that horrible marriage.
I feel like she deserves better.
She really does, and she seems happy. Geeta does kick him out, though. He is not allowed to stay this time because she catches him trying to rob her, and he says some horrible things, so he's out.
Gone.
Bye. Get out of here. Divya's brother, who we had seen briefly previously, he then catches her at the airport wearing her flight attendant uniform, and the two of them have a heart-to-heart where he tells her that he believes that she will fly a plane someday.
Yes. Which is very supportive as well. Like, I like this sibling relationship, too.
Yes, this is much better than the other sibling relationship we see.
Mm-hmm.
There are some nice, healthy, supportive men in this movie, as well as some awesome female characters. It's good stuff we got here.
It really is good to see.
It is. Then there's another big news stir for Kohinoor Airlines. The gold that the crew had hidden on the plane has been found. Now, I don't really understand plot-wise what kind of happens in the next couple of moments, because we hear Officer Mala saying that the flight attendants, quote-unquote, slipped through their fingers.
Yeah.
So clearly she still thinks that they're linked to this gold in some way. And it's not like they went into hiding.
So my understanding is that there's no way for them to prove that it was the flight attendants who put it up in the ceiling. And so I think that's what she's saying, is that, like, we don't actually have anything on them, even though it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
It was them.
That was kind of what I guessed as well, that, like, they can't link the gold to them because they weren't actually on the plane when it was found.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like they probably could, but...
Yeah.
Whatever.
But whatever.
Even so, it's like, then Javier also believes it's them enough that he's angry with Divya in the next scene. Divya tells him that she never meant for any of this to happen, but Javier says that he doesn't recognize her anymore. The, you know, high achiever that she used to be is gone, and then he asks her not to call him again. This is another of Divya's offensively early aughts outfits as well. She is wearing jeans with a denim vest. It's a lot of denim. To round out this kind of sad portion of the movie, Jasmine's grandfather dies.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of brings the crew back together because Geeta and Divya go to the funeral and they're there to support Jasmine. I didn't write down how this happens, but I just wrote, it then becomes clear that the crew's fellow flight attendant, Kamal, is not Mala's informant.
Oh, yeah, because Jasmine accuses her of tattling on them.
And she's like, yeah, no, I'm not. And by the way, also, my son got expelled from his school.
Yeah.
And so the crew then is left to wonder who the real informant was, and that's when they realize that Officer Mala was saying the informant was a flight attendant, not is mm-hmm. currently a flight attendant.
Yeah.
And so this leads them to suspect Mr. Mittal's wife, who was a flight attendant previously and worked with Geeta, and they confront her, and she does confess to being Mala's informant, but she says that she was actually trying to get her husband arrested, not the crew, because she's mad at her husband because he's spending all of their money on his white mistress.
Yeah, I also, though, this is where it's funny, and I'm like, okay, so apparently pretty low stakes, because his wife is like, oh, I thought a couple of days in jail would, like, do him good.
Yeah.
Something tells me smuggling gold out of India probably has a bigger jail sentence than just a couple of days. Yeah,
but what do we know about the criminal justice system? Maybe she was hoping he would bribe his way into a lesser sentence or something.
Yeah.
So the crew ask her where Mittal even gets all this gold from, and she tells them that it's not Mittal's gold, but it belongs to the head of the company, Vijay Walia. So Walia, who's the CEO of Kohinoor Airlines, he's been smuggling his own black money out of India on his own airline, all while claiming not to have the money to pay his employees a salary. So he is just a villain through and through.
Yeah.
Bad, bad rich man. Walia has also fled the country to Alberge, where his daughter is getting married, which Jasmine observes is just like the Titanic. Walia is fleeing the sinking ship of Kohinoor while his poor employees drown.
That's sad. But I appreciate the reference.
Yeah, that's why I put it in there. It's like, yeah, it's clever. So Divya proposes that they get even by stealing Walia's monies back from him and using it to pay the airline employees. So Geeta is immediately on board with this plan, but Jasmine declines until she remembers her grandfather's advice to start letting people in. And she pulls out the J pendant that Geeta and Divya gave her, which now hangs on a chain beside her grandfather's ring.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes back and she tells the crew that she's also in. So off they head to Alberge. Jasmine in this scene is wearing an absolutely fabulous houndstooth crop top skirt suit that is just flawless
it
and stunning.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
Looks amazing. So they arrive at the expensive resort where Walia is staying and where his daughter is going to be married in a few days. The crew decides that the wedding will make a perfect distraction for their heist.
Hmm.
Geeta remembers that her sister-in-law now works at a restaurant in Alberge, and so she goes to her and asks for her help in getting a job at the hotel. And so she does get a job as a housekeeper. Geeta then helps Divya sneak into the hotel as a maintenance worker, and Divya's brother, who is a hacker, agrees to assist in all of this by hacking a security guard's phone and sending him messages from hot women on dating apps.
Yeah. One more note to any, like, potential heisters out there.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, get your sibling interested in hacking at a young age so that they're good at being your person in the chair when you need them.
Exactly, yes. And not the normal kind of hacking that actual people do, but, like, the crime kind of hacking that people in movies do, where they can do literally anything as long as there's a computer on the other end.
Exactly. And it only takes, like, a minute.
Yep. Yeah, just, like, a couple seconds and boom, we're in.
Done. Yeah.
Geeta also stakes out Walia's room and learns that the code to get into the room changes daily, so the only way for them to get in is going to be by stealing a key card. Jasmine is confident that she can pick Walia's pocket if she gets close enough to him, but Geeta says there's no way they're going to be able to get close enough to him because he's got bodyguards. And so they end up enlisting Mittal, who's also here in Alberge, because he actually knows Walia. They work closely together. And so Mittal is in. They offer him 7% of their take, and that's all he needs. He doesn't even negotiate. I think Divya threatens him again. It's great.
Yeah, he really didn't put up much of a fight at all.
He didn't, no. He was super into participating in this robbery. So the night of the wedding arrives, and it is quite a spectacle. Divya's brother sends the security guard a video of a woman undressing, so the guard excuses himself from his post.
Go take care of some business.
Yep, a different job to be completed. and Divya then, she goes in wearing her maintenance worker costume, and she disables all the cameras.
I love a costume in a heist.
Yeah.
It's just great. And we've got, like, two, so.
Yeah, that's great.
That's fun. Yeah. Anyway.
Good. Yeah. You gotta look like you fit in.
Right, you gotta zhuzh it up. Yep. But zhuzh it up by zhuzhing it down.
Yes. Or in Jasmine's case, zhuzh it up by zhuzhing it up.
Exactly. Wow.
And Jasmine does manage to pick Walia's pocket. She gets the key card, and she also steals the cash out of his wallet for good measure, because he's rich, might he's not gonna miss it. Yeah. The crew search Walia's suite, but all they find are four humongous empty buckets that presumably used to hold this gold, but the gold is no longer anywhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
And so they leave the hotel defeated. We then cut to the next morning when Walia and his daughter and his son-in-law are boarding a private jet to fly to the Cayman Islands with their gold stashed in suitcases. And who should they see as the crew on their private jet but our crew?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, in this moment, Geeta and Jasmine.
Yeah.
We don't see Divya just yet.
No, but I definitely had high hopes for where she was.
You had a hunch. Mm-hmm. We cut back to the night before, and Jasmine, who again always has a plan B, reveals that she stole Walia's iPad. They found his flight info, they found out who his crew was scheduled to be, and then Jasmine's friend, who's a custodian, manages to steal the badges of the crew that's supposed to be there so that Geeta and Jasmine can impersonate them and get on to be the crew for this private jet instead.
Mm-hmm. She also locks those poor women in the bathroom.
Yeah. I hope they weren't in there for too long.
Exactly, right? Because, like, she locks them in the bathroom and then shuts, like, multiple doors and then puts an out-of-order sign.
Nobody could hear them scream.
They're just dead in there.
They were never seen again. On the plane, Geeta and Jasmine drug the champagne that they're handing out to the passengers. But Walia's daughter is pulling a Goldilocks. She's being super picky about drinks. She's literally
She's the worst.
She's taking a sip of each one and then giving it back with various complaints about it. So they just keep crushing up more sleeping pills until they don't have any anymore. And they have to hope that she just falls asleep naturally.
Uh-huh.
Which she does eventually do. So Jasmine and Geeta can get into the cargo hold and they find the suitcases with all the gold. But just then, Walia's daughter wakes up, because she is not drugged, she was just napping.
Yep.
Everyone else is too knocked out to react to her as she screams, and as Jasmine and Geeta wrestle her to the ground and tie up her hands and feet, and they leave her in the cargo hold, they've got the gold.
She's just so annoying.
She's...
I was happy she had to go through that, which seems rude, but...
She was never, her life wasn't in danger. She just needed to be taken down a few pegs.
Yeah.
So the daughter knocks the, like, kind of phone system off the hook, and she calls the pilot to say that the crew of the plane is mutinying. What are we going to do? But the pilot, it turns out, is Divya.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be the pilot who had a crush on Geeta, but she takes advantage of this by buying him a drink and drugging the drink. So he also gets knocked out. There's a lot of drugging people happening at the end of this movie.
As always, I must just bring up the Community episode with the chloroform.
We've all been chloroformed.
Oh, it's a slippery slope, folks. You chloroform one person, you crush sleeping pills in several people's drinks.
Yeah.
It's just going to snowball from there.
Exactly. Yeah, you never know where it's going to stop, and maybe it never will. back on the plane, Geeta and Jasmine are celebrating, but Divya starts to panic vomit because she realizes that she has no idea how to land this plane. It's got different buttons and doohickeys than the types of planes that she's used to.
Yup.
So yeah, that's not great.
No.
She's panicking, but Geeta slaps some sense into her. So Divya sits down, she like reads the flight manual, which is funny to me. And she does manage to bring them in for a very shaky landing on a familiar dirt runway. they have landed not in the Cayman Islands, but back in Divya's hometown.
Yeah. She almost hits a cow.
She does almost hit a cow, but stops just shy of it.
Yes. No cows were hurt in the making of this film.
Definitely not. So the crew then, they leave with some of the gold, but then they leave the rest of it to be apprehended, and Walia and his family to be apprehended by Mala and the other customs officers. Mm-hmm. So they take the Walia family into custody. We get a quick montage, though, of the Kohinoor employees all receiving gold balls.
Yeah.
As their compensation. And Mittal also gets a good collection of gold balls. He returns to his wife, pleadingly offering her two full chocolate truffle packages. And she welcomes him back into their home with open arms.
Mm-hmm.
Javier is there at the runway to meet our heroes and bring them home safely, because apparently he is on board with this particular bout of crime.
Yes.
Because it does ultimately end up in the real villains getting arrested and the gold, you know, getting most of the gold getting into the right people's hands, except for the gold that was owed to the people. Anyway.
Yes.
It's kind of a Robin Hood thing. He's okay mm-hmm. with it.
Yes.
As they're driving home, Geeta advises Jasmine not to spend all of her share at once, and Jasmine advises Geeta to spend some of hers.
Aww.
And that's where we end, although we do get a fun end credits dance number, Nena, with all of our ladies looking gorgeous in flowy, gauzy gowns. The wind.
Love a flowy, gauzy gown.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
And this song also I wanted to mention is performed by Diljit Dosanjh, which is cool. The guy who played
Javier. Yeah.
He's an actor and a playback singer and other things. Yeah. And the reason I figured I should look out for this is because I saw on Instagram recently that he just performed on Jimmy Fallon's show.
Oh.
Yeah, he's been doing all this stuff in the U.S. I guess he also performed at Coachella.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's super cool. And then the other guy who shows up in the middle of this dance number...
Yes.
...is...
I didn't know who that guy was.
He's Badshah, who's a hip-hop artist in India. And you actually unwittingly introduced me to his music, because you remember a while ago... There was something on Instagram that was, you were like, my world's colliding, and it was like an F1 thing.
Oh my god, and yes.
Yeah, that was him, that was Badshah. I forget which of his songs it was, but I was like, that's a cool song, and so I looked up his music, and now
Yeah, with Valtteri Bottas, yes, yeah, wow. That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that.
All the little bits of the web connecting there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our movie. Again, I don't feel like every component of the crime... made sense.
No.
But, you know, we're just having fun here. Like,
yeah,
it's fine.
I was also glad because I will say, like, halfway through the movie, I was like, smuggling's not really a heist, though.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
I was like, does that mean we're not going to get the fun, like, planning stages of things? And like, oh, you thought that was our plan all along, but really, we prepared for that. And then we did.
We did
get all the good stuff that a heist movie brings you.
Yes.
And... I enjoyed it.
All of the ingredients were there, and then some.
Yeah, I feel like there's not, like, a ton of meat here dissect.
Not really a lot to unpack, no.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you do for your research this week?
So, I decided to look up things about female pilots.
Oh, fun.
In India, because I know in a previous episode, you discussed... the army.
Yes.
And like female, well, they are pilots. I was like, what are they called? Pilots in the army. But this is like different, you know, with commercial flights. So I learned so many things, guys. Like, and it's really cool, actually.
Awesome. So I'm so excited.
Buckle up, buttercups.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Yes. Oh, seatbelt humor. Anyway, an article from January 2024, so pretty recent, states that India is now graduating record numbers of female pilots.
Wow.
And India has the highest percentage of female pilots globally.
That's amazing. Way to go, yes. India.
Right? So women now make up about 14% of airline pilots in India, which is almost triple the world average of 5%.
Wow. That's awesome. I mean, those numbers are low, but that's great. They're very low. They're so much higher than the average.
Yes. And that's a 22% increase from last year.
Wow.
So I think, like, last year it was, like, they had 12 point something percent. So the trend is going upward.
That's awesome.
And for reference, as of 2022, in the U.S., women held 4.9% of airline pilot licenses.
So we're below the average.
Yeah. It's not ideal.
No.
And then I found an Al Jazeera article that examines how India, which placed 135th among 146 countries on the World Economic Forum's ranking of nations based on gender parity, managed to become the front runner in diversity in the aviation industry.
Yeah. Interesting.
Because, you don't necessarily think of gender equality in India as, like, being a touted thing. But in this case, it is.
Yeah.
One of the reasons could be a youth program that started in 1948, which was called the National Cadet Corps, which has an air wing that trains students how to operate aircraft.
Cool.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
Not only that, but decades ago, India started recruiting women into STEM positions, which included pilots.
Amazing.
And because commercial pilot training is so expensive, some states within India are actually subsidizing the cost. And some companies are even giving full scholarships for students to attend flying school.
Ah, okay. So this is a good path forward. Yeah.
Yes. Meanwhile, in the U.S., the push for diversity in aviation started only recently, and it was only due to a major pilot/technician shortage. Mm. So the infrastructure has been in India for, like, a while now, and we're now just being like, oh, crap.
Now we're like, there aren't enough men to do this. I guess we'll get women to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Classic for the U.S.
Right? Another factor in the increase in women pilots is changing policies. So some airlines in India are working to create specific policies that help retain female talent. Mm-hmm. For example, multiple airlines offer flexibility to female pilots and crew members to continue working for the airline in non-flying capacities while they are pregnant.
Great.
Fun fact, law also requires that women receive 26 weeks of paid maternity leave.
Wow.
26 weeks.
That
you're lucky to get 12.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
That's amazing.
That is more than double.
That's a full half of a year.
Yeah. Man.
Imagine.
And some airlines even assign a driver and guard to pick up and drop off women pilots and crew flying late at night.
Oh, wow.
Which is also nice. Yeah.
So this is what I was thinking. You know, you brought up the idea of India trying to have more women in STEM, and there have been pushes for that, you know, more women in STEM in the U.S., more BIPOC people in STEM. And there's always this, like, yeah, let's get them into it, and then there's no, like, infrastructure for supporting people when they're actually there.
Right.
And so it sounds like they actually did have that.
they're figuring that out.
Doing these jobs, and let's actually make sure that when they get there, there aren't barriers to them being able to perform the task safely and healthfully.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Way to go, India.
Seriously, kudos, guys.
Additionally, a lot of female pilots credit family support for their success. Aww. Since many people live with their extended families, having the extra family support to help raise children or manage the household is helpful when pilots have to work long hours and regularly travel far from home.
That's great.
And it is great. And as it turns out, having more female pilots could be beneficial to airline safety. Hmm. Yes, I'm a little... No, I'm not skeptical. You know, I just, whenever it's like the whole like men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of a thing where it's like men approach problems in this way and women, it's a very generalizing perspective, but whatever studies were done, so I will share. The U.S. has had almost five times as many fatal accidents as India, like in the air, you know, aviation sector since 1945. Now, this can be partially explained by the fact that the U.S. is a much larger aviation market, with more flights increasing the probability of accidents. However, there was a study conducted called Gender Differences in General Aviation Crashes, which assessed airplane and helicopter crash data between 1983 and 1997. It found that crash rates were higher for the male pilots than the female pilots.
Interesting.
Another study looked at the accident rates of male and female pilots operating U.S. Army helicopters from 2002 to 2013, and that one found that women operate aircraft more safely, accounting for only 3% of the accidents, even though women made up 10% of the pilots.
Wow.
Yeah. Analysts have suggested that women often take a more measured approach to risk, which leads to fewer accidents.
That's certainly what we saw play out in Fighter.
That is very true.
But these stats that you're sharing, these are from, like, the U.S., and so, right, I'm understanding that correctly?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're saying, like, because the U.S. has shown that this exists, could be why India has fewer accidents, because there are more, yeah. I'm just trying to connect all the dots together.
Yes.
Because I was also thinking that another reason that there have been more commercial aviation-related accidents in the U.S. also has to do with just poor...
Boeing?
Yeah, just poor, like, decisions made by the people who actually make the airplanes.
Yeah.
So...
yes, correct. And that's a very good point.
That's not the fault of the pilot.
No, that is so
true. Regardless of their gender. And of course, all of these studies are assuming two genders. But yeah. Interesting kind of breakdown of things.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, your plane just falls apart.
It's true.
Because it's made of, like, cardboard and duct tape.
Yeah, and sometimes it's got features that nobody told you about, and then the plane crashes and it's horrible.
Yeah, not great. But a chief flight instructor at an Indian flight school has also noticed a difference between her male and female students. Mm. She said that the women trainees are particularly meticulous and show greater dedication to succeed than their male counterparts because the stakes are higher for the women going against social norms to pursue being a pilot.
Yeah, they feel like they've got more to prove.
Yeah, that I feel makes a lot more sense than, like, you know, women approach...
Yeah.
You know, risk differently.
Women are more cautious than men.
Right. Yeah. And as more women enter the profession, more women join in on outreach programs in schools to spread awareness of jobs like pilots, technicians, and air traffic controllers to young girls.
Yeah.
All of this combined has led to more women choosing to become pilots, and it is a self-sufficient kind of growing cycle.
Yes. The more people, the more women there are doing it, the more women will want to do it. Love to see
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my bit about female pilots.
That's great.
I do have another little thing did, too.
Amazing.
Which is just a fun heist story.
Oh, great. Okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, it would also be fun to look up some, like, big heists in India.
Uh-huh.
But also I wanted to feature female pilots because that feels more important.
So and I feel like both in there.
Yeah, we will have the opportunity for future heist stories.
I'm sure we will.
So this fun heist story takes place in Kerala.
Ah, great.
Yes, it's the Chilambra bank robbery that took place on December 30th, 2007.
Okay.
When robbers targeted Kerala Grameen Bank and got away with 80 kilograms of gold and 5 million rupees for a total value of 80 million rupees.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of millions.
Now, exactly. The bank was on the second floor of the building. If you're in the U.S., we call it the second floor. If you're not in the U.S., it's considered the first floor. Bottom line is the floor above the ground floor.
Yeah.
Okay? That is where this bank was. And then below it, on the ground floor, was a restaurant, which was up for rent.
Ah. Oh, so my gosh.
I know. Yeah, can you see what's happening? So... A four-member gang rented the restaurant for 50,000 rupees, then put a sign on the front door saying that the restaurant was under renovation and would reopen on January 8th, 2008. They also covered up the windows with newspapers so no one could see in, and so it really just looked like a whole renovation thing. They went so far as to buy new furniture for the restaurant.
Wow.
Like, this was elaborate. And while it seemed from the outside that repairs were going on, the robbers were actually breaking into the floor above, which was where the bank vault was. Uh-huh. So they made a hole in the ceiling, climbed up there, and used a gas cutting machine to cut into the iron safes, then got away with the 80 million rupees worth of gold and cash.
Just super casual, just in and out.
Yeah, yeah. And this robbery was done early on a Sunday morning during a holiday, so it was not discovered until the following day, like Monday. And the robbers also tried to mislead investigators by planting evidence that there was Naxalite involvement, which is like...
Do you, I just watched a movie about the Naxalites.
Okay. I don't really know a ton about those politics. Yeah. But yeah, they did that. And they also made, like, placed calls from various cities around India to try to, like, throw off their location. But the police were eventually able to identify a secret phone number that the robbers used. And that became a turning point in the investigation.
Sorry, you know what I was just thinking of was how they, in Ladies versus Ricky Bell, how they figure out who he is.
The phone,
because he's got the, like, playback message of Shark
Yeah,
Khan.
That's so
good. I like
good.
To think that that's what happened here, too.
I mean, just wait, it might have been. There's one detail that would maybe make you think, yeah, they could have been inspired by that. But on February 28th, 2008, the police ended up arresting the four people responsible and recovering 80% of the stolen gold and money.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty substantial.
Yeah, that does mean that they spent like 15 million rupees in like a month or put it somewhere. I don't know.
Buried it. It's buried treasure.
Oh, maybe in Kerala,
yeah.
Or not in Kerala. I'm not sure where they were arrested. But fun fact, The leader of the gang confessed that they'd been inspired by the film Doom, in which robbers make a hole in the ground floor of a bank and get away with the valuables during the New Year celebration.
Oh my gosh, who was it who they interviewed who was like, my friends, we could do heist? These people were actually inspired. That's amazing.
So, there you go. That's a fun heist story. It didn't work out for them.
No.
But maybe it'll work out for you.
Do a heist. Fantastic.
I don't know.
I'm picturing the movie. I'm picturing the Malayalam language film starring Dulquer Salman and Tevino Thomas. Maybe one of them's like the cop investigating and the other one's the head of the heisting. The Doom fan, as it were. That's great. That's super fun. Also, just to be clear, too, like, we understand that, like, the theft on this scale is, like, it's not a victimless crime. Like,
oh, no,
just having fun.
Yes. Yeah. No, don't actually heist.
Yeah, please don't steal 80 million rupees, because it's got to be coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for sharing that story. That was so much more delightful than I ever would have guessed it would be.
You're welcome.
I like in the movie version, they're gonna like actually set up the restaurant, you know, they have to like figure out how to cook and as a part of the heist. So they have to hire like a really hot woman chef to like teach them. Yeah.
It's just Happy New Year part two.
It actually is what I realized.
Like it takes place around New Year.
Yeah.
Oh,
fantastic.
Great.
Thank you so much for all of that research. All of it was wonderful in different ways.
You are very welcome. So, Bollywood news.
Yeah. I've got a couple things.
Okay.
My first piece of Bollywood news is that it was announced that there is another installment in the Yash Raj Films spy cinematic universe.
Oh, my God.
Currently filming. The movie is called Alpha. And it stars Alia Bhatt.
Cool.
Yes.
God, her star just keeps rising.
It really does. And we're just loving it.
Yeah.
Just watching it go. Yeah, that's all I know about it so far. It, like I said, just started filming, so it's probably not going to come out for quite a while, but that's cool.
But she's going to be like a cool action fighty lady.
Yeah, and it's going to be rad. And then someday we're going to get all these guys teaming up with each other, and it's going to blow our minds.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be like the Fast and Furious franchise.
Yeah.
with all the big, like, Hollywood actors.
Absolutely.
And you're just like, how can you afford to pay all these people? But you're doing it.
Because everybody keeps going to these movies, even though there's 50 of them.
Yeah. Love that.
Yeah.
My one piece of Bollywood news is just that a new movie came out on Netflix recently, Shrikant, which stars Rajkumar Rao.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's, like, a more serious, not like a boo-hoo serious, but just like a true events, inspirational film that I'm really excited about. I always love when Netflix is like, hey, let me just show you this new thing that Rajkumar Rao is in. And I'm like, sign me up.
Yes, please. I know, yeah, I'm excited to watch this movie. I remember seeing things about it recently as it was coming out in theaters. It seems like it got a lot of really good reviews, good press, all that stuff. He plays a visually impaired man.
Yeah.
And so, I think I'll be interested to see what he does with that performance.
Yeah, I am super pumped about it, and we will hopefully watch that in the next month or so.
I believe we will.
Yes. So that'll be good.
Yeah.
That's my Bollywood news.
That's good news. I'm excited about that news. I think you'll be excited about my second piece of Bollywood news as well, which, bringing things back to F1, actually.
Oh my god.
Kriti was posting on Instagram that she was in attendance at the British Grand Prix at Silverstone, which
I don't know what that means,
but she was there.
It's a big deal. I can't believe she was there. I didn't see her. Oh, I didn't watch the... Oh, my God. This was the wrong weekend to skip the pre-race coverage. Do you know what team she was with?
I don't know what team she was with. She was there representing a jeans brand.
Okay.
So if there's a team that's also
probably
supported by a jeans brand, I think there was a picture that
She's with Red Bull. Girl, get it. Those are the big ones, Kim.
Cool.
Those are the winniest boy.
The winniest boys. Cool. Love it. Good for them. Well, good
just
for her.
Just the one boy is the winningest boy.
Oh, okay.
The other one is actually very not good.
Oh.
Anyway, but the one boy is the best boy. So.
I mean, if you're going to have two boys and only one of them can be the best one, I guess it doesn't matter what the other one's contributing.
Yeah. Oh, but that's great. Good for her.
Yeah.
I love her.
But that is it for me for news.
Thank you for sharing. Pluggables.
Yes.
Yes. Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram and TikTok. Do what you do there. You know, interact with us if you want or don't.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
Yep,
yeah, we're not pressuring you. And consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can leave a rating or a review. We'd appreciate that. But also, if you do none of those things or you do all of those things, no matter what, we appreciate you for listening, so thank you.
We do. Just your being here with us is compensation enough for us.
Yes.
Exactly. We'd also love to see you on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood Bangers playlist that you can follow along with. We add our favorite songs from the movies we watch to those playlists, and we link them in our episode descriptions, as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
The Olympics are nearly upon us.
Indeed they are.
So, in preparation, we are going to watch a slew of sports movies. I don't know if three counts as a slew.
Depending on your definition of slew. I guess technically we'll be watching four.
Oh, that's, yeah.
But that's not much more. If a slew can't be four, then why, or if three can't be a slew, then why could four be a slew? Anyway.
Right. Anyway, whatever, we're going into our sports era.
We are, yes.
And we're starting with Chak De India.
Yay!
Woot woot, good old Shah Rukh Khan.
Yes, I've missed him. It's been a minute.
Yeah, I will always miss him.
you could watch him every day and still miss him.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Chak De India is another Yash Raj film, which we are always even more excited about now after having watched The Romantics. I really only added this to my list after watching The Romantics, but it sounds like it's one you've had your eye on for longer than that.
It has been on my list for, like, years.
Yeah.
And I cannot explain why I haven't watched it. Uh-huh. Every time I look at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, gotta watch that. And I haven't. So I'm ready.
This is just like me with Gully Boy. It's like, why did I wait? Yeah. I don't know. But now we get to do it, do it live for the podcast.
Oh, and I'm so excited.
Yeah. Our plot description on IMDb is Kabir Khan, the coach of the Indian women's national hockey team, dreams of making his all-girls team emerge victorious against all odds. Which feels like a pretty standard, vague kind of sports movie description. I'm sure we're going to get a lot more meat to it than that. I do also always, because I know this is field hockey, but living think in the U.S., I'm living very close to the Canadian border. Like, I always will think hockey is ice hockey if it's not specified. So if Me you too. Have that confusion as well, field hockey is the hockey we're referring to.
Yes. That's one of those things that I really appreciate about the world that we live in. You know, we're depending on where you're from in the world. You call one thing hockey.
Yeah.
And then the other one is ice hockey.
Right.
Or we call it ice hockey hockey, and then it's field hockey.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so cute, kind of. Like, that's just, like, a cute little fact about the world and people.
I guess
and
I love that. It depends on what you have more of around you. Fields or ice.
Exactly. Yeah. But even then, I feel like, yeah, even in the U.S., you know, even in our warmer parts, it's like hockey is ice hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canada is so powerful and it's influencing us in that regard.
Yeah. But yeah, Chocolate India is available on Amazon Prime, so you can find it there. And the synopsis is Kabir Khan, the ex-Indian captain, has now come back as the coach of the women's national hockey team, a ragtag bunch of girls who've forgotten what it's like to play for the love of the game. Chocolate India is the story of a coach's fight of making his team, Team India, by overcoming their diverse backgrounds and by learning to use everything that life hurls on them as a secret weapon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Once again, I did have to insert my own punctuation midway reading through that, but we got it. It certainly sounds like it's going to be inspirational.
It does sound inspirational, which what good sports movie doesn't inspire you in some way or another?
I'm definitely going to cry.
At least you're ready. At least you know what's going to happen. You can have your tissues handy.
Yeah. Like, I just weirdly got a flashback to the scene in Gold where they're all playing barefoot in the rain.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love it.
That was so good. And that really happened, which is crazy. Yeah. It is so cool.
That's amazing. God, Gold was really good.
Gold like, was also, really good.
If you feel so compelled because the Olympics are starting soon, rewatch Gold, everyone. Yeah. It's a good flick.
I know. See, this is why we're going to saturate ourselves with even more sports goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Good feelings. There'll be ups and downs. And there's always that moment where everything seems hopeless and they come back and they win it all.
Yes. And I love it.
Yeah.
You know?
I always go along for that ride. I have no interest in not experiencing that.
So, yeah. That's that. Mm-hmm. That'll come out and then the opening ceremonies will happen and
be off and running, just like the Olympians. That's what they're called, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to, my brain was thinking Olympiads at first, and I was like, that's not right, don't say that.
That's different. But yes, so watch it, hopefully enjoy it. I mean, who are we kidding? It's Shah Rukh Khan, you're going to enjoy it.
How could you not? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us, but we need Bollywood.
Yeah, especially a good Bollywood heist.
Oh, love a Bollywood heist. It's like my top 10 favorite heists.
Somewhere you've got a list of those just ranked.
Yeah, it's like Italian is also up there.